This revelation is mine. This revelation is mine. This revelation I have is mine. So now what can I say? So I told Satan
to get thee behind me.
This revelation I have is mine. When a revelation comes victory, so victory
is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine.
And I told Satan
to get thee behind me.
Victory today is mine. Joy is mine. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, joy.
Enjoy that just for a second. Just think about the lyrics for just a second. Just, I don't want to rush it too much, because when you start talking about the lyrics, you just remember what you're singing.
Right.
Joy is mine.
Yeah, real joy.
This revelation is mine.
This revelation.
The victory is mine.
Amen.
So when you know those things, that's even what Jesus, when he knew the word, he said, it is written, it yes. is not even lawful.
Right.
For you to even tempt me.
Right. I'm off limits.
I'm off limits. Oh, that's why you can tell Satan to get thee behind me. But if you don't know the word, you don't know what to tell him. If you don't have a revelation, you don't know where you're standing.
Right.
But when you have all those things, of course victory's yours.
Amen.
See, that's why I love those lyrics. When you know what you're singing, that's why I'm loving the Bible study. You know what you're reading.
Amen.
That's why even that Ethiopian said, how can you understand the word that's written? Somebody's got to preach it to
it's
you.
It's important to have an understanding.
Somebody's got to preach it to
yes.
you. So it's not just fun to get together and just read through the Bible.
No.
I want to be sitting with somebody that's got
you
an understanding.
Understand
the Bible's been around for thousands of years, but when you got somebody that's got an understanding,
yes.
Brother James is a little
makes
bit different
all the
now. Now I can go through and see my name in every single verse.
Right.
See, now that's why I said I just want to just bask in that just for a little bit.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor, for always setting that stage, setting that atmosphere. But that's what leadership's supposed to do.
Yes.
I don't want to.
Sets the pace.
It sets the pace.
Yeah.
Oh, my. And our job is just to keep up with it.
Amen.
Just keep up with God and just let him have what he wants.
Yes.
Yes. Don't half do it. Don't come in here and half sing.
No.
Don't come in here and half step.
Surrender.
Don't come in here and half do it. Sometimes, when we were young, we would sing and people would, you know, the young people with us, we'd be singing, and me and Jeremiah, we'd just yelling. We couldn't sing. We were long talkers, so to speak. We were just trying to carry a tune, but we were just giving all of what we got.
Right.
And some people would show up to song practice and not sing. And you go, why do you even come here? Why'd you even come here if you're going to half do it? If you're not going to sing into the mic, you're not going to make a joyful noise, yeah. Why'd you even come here?
Right.
You wasted your time. Yeah, I didn't waste my time. That's the same with church. You come in here and just sit down and be all docile. Don't have nothing to say. Why'd you come here? If you come, to Bible study, not prepared, don't want to look at it, don't want to read it, don't want to. Why'd you come
here?
Study
the Bible. Come on.
Same thing when you come to church. When you come to the house of God, come for worship.
Yes.
I come for praise.
This is a worship service.
I come
service.
To give him everything I've got.
Amen.
Oh, all through the week, I got to hold it
don't
in,
be
bottle
backward.
It up. Got to do this, got to do that. But now when I get around some believers.
Oh, Lord.
See, that's the.
Turn loose now.
That's why Pastor stirred up over there. He finally around some believers.
Yes.
That's why we get started up here.
Right.
He finally around some believers.
Like precious faith.
No great cloud of witness than we see right now every time.
Right.
We always say, Lord, open up my eyes. Just look around.
The greatest.
He's given us the greatest body we could ever
Amen.
Have.
Amen.
Oh, my. Come on, Sister Crystal. It's good to be here.
What an hour. I just would like to give God all my honor and praise. I am so grateful to be here. He allowed me to wake up this morning, to get on the road, to come here, be safe,
Amen.
And be with my sisters and brother. I am so grateful and thankful. And we're not going to give Satan any power.
None.
The joy
right.
is with the
Don't
love,
to.
The mercy,
Amen.
And the grace of our Lord Savior. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless, Sister Crystal.
You know, I was thinking about that song, The Victory is Mine. It doesn't matter what the battle is.
Yeah.
The victory is already mine. Big battles, little battles, the victory is already mine.
Yeah.
You know, I just wanted to say that. I'm thankful to be here.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Me and Delaney were just in there. We were so excited because we were thinking about when Pastor Moore, when he was closing up service and saying, like, prophecies, things that haven't happened yet. And we were thinking about the things that are to come. And we were sitting there. We were so excited because we've wrapped a lot up. And we've got so many things to look forward to. And I was excited because Mom and Dad were talking to them about it. And I knew everything that was going to happen. I was like, I know more than I give myself credit for. And
yeah.
I was just so excited that I could sit there and I Man. Knew everything that they were talking about. And it was exciting to me because I have a real revelation. I was excited this morning. I had a little bit of a headache, but I was like, I'm going to go to church and it's going to get better. Because
Amen.
I knew that Amen. I didn't want anything to get in my way. And it's
sure.
so much better. And Daisy was sitting and she texted me in the car. She was like, I'm excited that you get to go to church and serve God with me today. And I was like, I'm
Blessing.
Excited to serve God with this entire body. I love it.
Amen.
At fellowship on Friday, I got a chance to talk to some people I normally don't get to talk to. And it was a blessing to me. And I just love this place. And I'm excited to be here.
Amen. 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 God bless
Amen.
You,
Amen.
Brother John.
God is good.
You
Amen.
Know, I don't want to give Satan any glory, but you know what? I'm glad to see what Satan's doing because he's fulfilling his part of Scripture.
Yeah, he's doing his part.
And that means I'm closer to
yeah.
the rapture. So, you know, let him do what he's going to do.
Yeah.
He can't touch me.
Right.
But he's got his people and he's doing what he's doing.
Sure. Yeah.
And I look at that faithful. And I say, well, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Another sign that we're closer to the end.
Amen.
You know, this morning, Dawn and I, we were just talking about all the blessings.
Amen.
And, you know, in that list of blessings, was this church, this
Amen.
Assembly,
yeah.
this pastor,
Amen.
This leadership, this headship.
Amen.
You know, it is amazing what God's done for us. I praise him. I love him. He's my all in all. He's my everything.
Amen.
Everything I do, everything I think, everything I say. I and my Father are one.
Amen.
You know, the Bible studies, everything God does is for a reason. And I just look back at everything and see how he's been good to me, how he's brought me, where he's put me. And I can't do anything but praise him.
Amen. God bless you.
Go ahead, Sister Clarence.
You know, as they would say in the denomination, giving honor to God.
Yeah,
who is the head of my life?
Glory.
Let me brag a little bit on the man that I have.
Amen.
You can't get anything better outside of salvation than a good mate.
Right.
That man has saved me. He came. God, you know, God is God in flesh. He's God
yeah,
in flesh.
We know that, right.
He came to me. He picked. I feel like that little glass that you found laying in the dirt, and it was all just messed up. God looked down there. He said, that's mine.
Right,
he picked
right.
it up. And it had dirt on it. There was nothing that I had that God was scared of.
Right.
God ain't scared of nothing
that's
that you
right.
could put forth. And he's got this. How I praise God for my husband. He's everything to me. Outside of he's my salvation too.
Yeah.
You know, it's got it. It's God in flesh. You know, the world don't understand this. No. don't even think about they're going to understand that. And what you're going to get when you start talking about God and I are one, you're going to get the same thing that he got.
Right.
He said, because the servant is not greater than his Lord. Right. So the Lord let us know that said if they did it to him, they're going to do it to you. Right. Let me have a little bit of time to just give him praise. Give me a G. I don't sing all the time anymore, but you know, I come to worship.
Right.
You know what God wants? Not playing, not messing around, not forming fashion, not traditions of men. Oh, I got all that behind me. But this is the hour that we've been waiting for. This horrible, disastrous, wonderful hour is the hour we've been waiting for. Let's have a seat in. This is, oh, that's too low. Get me a G. Whatever. This is the hour that we've all been waiting for. Hallelujah. This is the hour. The bridegroom is at the door.
This is the hour that we've all been waiting for. This is the hour. The bridegroom is at the door. For this is the
just want to say I'm grateful to be here one more time. I noticed that the longer I sit there in the pew, the more people come up and start saying things that I thought I should say. So I decided to get up. The first part is that I've learned that just because I see something happening that's not of God, that tries to steer me off the path, instead of confronting it or necessarily, I hold my hand open and I say, okay, Lord, you've given me all the tools I need. You can move this circumstance. All I got to do is keep walking with my hand open. And it seems to work. Instead of me confronting the situation or, you know, if I don't understand something, especially like if it comes from my husband, you know, just to let it go. It'll work itself out because God ordained him. And that's the other thing is I don't give him praise enough for him holding the position that he holds in my house, in my life.
Right.
And I am grateful for that. And I am not, in the natural, I am not the most perfect wife, or even close to it ever. But you know what? We both have the word. We both have the word. And when we come back to that word, it all It does. It makes all the difference. It works itself out. And the further I get into this, the more I see that it's not what I do. It's what God does through me by me just saying, you got it. You got it. And I'm grateful to be here with believers, and I'm looking forward to my marching orders.
Amen.
Waiting, Lord.
Brother Warren.
Waiting.
We're gonna play Feeling So Much Better. That's page 117.
Is that right?
Yes. Okay. I just want to say thank you, Lord, for giving me another opportunity to be here. And I've had on my heart to come up here and do this earlier, much earlier, but due to circumstances, it just wasn't possible. Because if you don't get to that tit right away,
yeah.
Someone else will beat you to it.
Yeah.
So, well, here's the so I while the sister was testifying, I figured I'd just grab the horn and let's get up here and squeeze in. So here we are, right? So here it is. All right. Well, amen. God's good.
So much better. I'm not sure what key it's in. G. Raise. That's all right.
About this good old
devil,
feeling
he
so
talking about. You know I am
feeling so much better
when I'm talking about my Lord. So
let's go on,
let's go on
talking.
Be thankful for a true fivefold ministry.
Amen.
Because you can talk all about what's been filled and what's been not.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't know where you're at,
yeah,
you don't know where you're at on that timeline.
Right.
You know, Brother Branham came, he was a prophet.
Yeah.
And scripture says most of the time they're going to miss him.
Yeah.
And those that did got too close to the light, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Straight is the way and narrow is the path.
Yeah.
Without a true fivefold ministry, you ain't going to know where you're at.
Right.
But I have found it. God led me here.
Yeah.
And I want to praise him for it.
Amen.
That's all right.
That's all right, huh?
Yeah.
That's talking like a believer. Go ahead, Brother Ted.
Amen.
Yeah, get this. There we go.
Praise.
Amen.
Praise.
Amen. Amen. Now, one more song we want to sing. Now, I want to say we had a great time Friday. Appreciate the Deskins opening up their house.
Amen.
That was beautiful. It's just been getting better and better and better. Yeah. Everything we do gets should. Better and better, as it should.
Yeah.
That's progress. That's how that's supposed to work.
Right.
There's Throw a song the I wanted to sing. It's called I Know It Was the Blood.
Yeah.
I know it was the blood.
For me.
For me.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people have a lot of stuff that they want to put it, tie it to, but I know it was the blood that did it for me.
Yes, sir.
That's what took care of me. That's a revelation. That's everything.
Amen.
So page 116, I know it was the blood.
Amen.
Amen. Good to be here. Amen. And don't forget Bible study tonight.
Yes.
I know
yes.
it was the blood. I think that's key. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood.
Coming back again.
Just for me.
I know it was the blood. Yes, I know it was the blood for me. Oh, yes, one day I was lost. Jesus died upon the cross. And I know it was the blood for me. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning in thanksgiving for all that you've done, how you watched over us, how you kept us, how you protect us, how you supply all our needs. When we needed blood, you provided it. When we needed a redeemer, you provided it. When we need healing, you provided. When we need a redeemer and salvation, you provided it. When it comes time for a body change, Lord, you'll provide that too. It was all because of that blood that was shed for us. Lord, we're thankful for an opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you for your word and what it means to us, how it's blessed us in so many ways. Out of all the books in the world, this one book means everything to us. Have your way this morning. Speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to move everything aside, all the hindrances that Satan tries to throw our way. Just, Lord, just help us to use the sword of the word to throw out any trial and trouble that he tries to bring our way. Thank you for this truth. Lord, I've opened up the word before the people. Now I ask you to open our hearts and come and speak to us, Lord. I can do nothing without you, but through you, all things are possible. Have your way today with those that are not here. Just be with them. You know the reasons. Father, we ask you to touch those that are sick, maybe tuning in from home. Move in that house. Have your way wherever this service goes. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. I don't know what my voice is trying to do. It's trying to act like it wants to do something, but I ain't gonna pay it no pay. I ain't been gonna pay that no mind. And it's good to be in the house. It's good to be here with you all. I'm so grateful for all that God does. You know, we were at my sister's yesterday, had a cookout, and to show you how God protects you, we had the fish fry burner, and I thought I turned it off, but I turned it high. Yes, and we went around the other house, side of the house, and was eating and had our dinner and everything. I looked up, and big black smoke rolling out from the other side of the house. Went around there, it was all on fire. So, Lord blessed, got the hose and got it out, and it was sitting out where it didn't affect the house, and it was the grace of God. Yeah. It wasn't nothing that we could have done. And so I'm always grateful for God's protection when he watches over us on the seen and unseen dangers. And he's always protecting us, and we're grateful. We never want to fail to give him the glory for what he does. You know, when he does stuff for you, he wants you to come back and thank him. Just like he healed the 10 lepers, and only one came back, and the other nine went on about their life. Wasn't even thankful for the fact that God saved their life. I want to always be thankful and always give him the glory and the praise, because if it wasn't for God, where would we be? All of us, we are. He protects and watches over us, so we're grateful for that. I see there's a lot of people seem like out today. I don't know why, but God knows, and we just don't worry about those that aren't here. We worry about the ones that are here. Because obviously y'all are supposed to hear something from God today. You know, it's important to make him a priority. If you don't make him a priority, you can get all kind of things in the way that'll keep you out of the house of God. But I make my plans around the house of God. What I do on Saturday is planned around Sunday. And what I do on Tuesday is planned around Wednesdays. So sometimes we allow Satan to trick us, and we make wrong decisions on the day before when you should be in the house of God. Matter of fact, your plans should be gathered around that. That's like me. I know I got to preach on Sunday morning, so
I'm making sure on Saturday that I'm giving that time to study and giving God time to talk to me, because I have to turn around and talk to you. And if I come here this morning and say, I'm sorry, you know, I was busy yesterday. Guys, y'all on your own today. You know how sometimes mama, she don't feel like cooking. So y'all on your own, go up, get in the cabin and get you a snack or something. And I come in here and if I said that to y'all, I come and say, y'all, I was a little busy yesterday. Yeah, grab a snack, get a little something out. Y'all would have me nailed to the pulpit. But it's good that we could come and spend the time together. So make it a priority. You know, you don't lose when you put God first. Amen. You never lose when you put God first. And don't let Satan ever trick you into putting God second. Because if you let him trick you there, then he'll trick you somewhere else. Then he'll trick you somewhere else. He's got a bag of tricks. He's full of tricks. And he tries to use those tricks to get to us. But you know what? We're not falling for it. We see him coming from far off. And I got a real easy definition to find out whether it's the devil. Anything that takes you away from the word of God is Satan. That's situations, that's people, that's jobs, that's friends, that's families, that's yourself. You know, I know there's times you don't need to be here and you can't be here, but the times you can, you should. And it's not even a thing that, it's not even a law. It's your love for God. You know, you're putting God first. And when you put God first, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Right. And all these other things will be added in you. Oh, yeah. If you take Wednesday night services lightly or Sunday night services lightly and you're like, well, I don't have to be there. No, you don't. God doesn't have to give you breath either. But he does it. You know, he takes care of you and these things. But and that's not a threat. That's just saying that God, you need to give God time. Oh, yeah. He deserves everything you can give him and more. And more. So it's good. It's good to be here. I'm excited. I enjoyed Wednesday night service. Oh, yes. Jeremiah, modern events made clear by prophecy. You know, I listened to one of Brother Branham's tapes this week, earlier in the week. It's like, well, I'll start out Monday, because a lot of times I'll listen to him on my way to work. I'll put it on while I'm driving sometimes, and you know, I got a little drive, so I'll get a good part of the service in. So I put this service up and listening to it this week and didn't know why until Wednesday night. And then after we got to Wednesday night, I told Jeremiah after, I said, now I see why I was listening to what I was listening to, because it goes right along with what you were talking about. It's good to be able to find out the events that God is doing. Amen. And the hour that he's living and that you're living in, because God's always doing something. Amen. He's always doing something. And the thing is, people miss what God's currently doing. Amen. They always are hindsight, and then back, they look behind and see what he's done, and they can get along pretty good with that. But when God's doing something, they always miss it. The majority of people always miss what God's doing. They never find it until it's already history. You know, when you're talking about modern events, we're looking at the events that are going on around us. Like John was saying, the world's crazy. Their decision-making is crazy. They're out of their mind. And if you don't know the scripture, you would know that that was ordained to happen. And the craziness that you're seeing, don't be fooled thinking this is out of the ordinary. No, this was prophesied to come. These are modern events made clear by prophecy. You know, the young people, they're getting worse and worse all the time. And you know, Brother Branham back in the 60s said that the young women, they were going through puberty, and they were earlier, menopause early and earlier. And in life, life is hard on people, and it causes a lot of physical, mental stress and strain. And you need something like the Word of God to be able to keep your sanity in the midst of an insane world. They're out of their mind. And you don't have to be out of your mind. Amen. You can be sane in the middle of it. And say, when I go to visit somebody that's in a mental hospital, I don't go in there and start acting like them. I keep my sanity in the midst of all that craziness that's going on around you. And so in the middle of this world, when they have lost their loving, ever loving mind. They don't have morals. They don't have character. They don't even know what a man is. They don't know what a woman is. They don't know what. They don't keep the word. The word's nothing. They stir stuff up. They can't even just be happy with what God's doing. They always got something in the mix. Man is he's an awful creature. He's the only creature that destroys the world to get something that he wants. I mean, he's awful. He's never been satisfied with what God has blessed him with. Never have. He looks at his neighbor. He wants it. And he'll go and kill his neighbor to get it. And it's like no other animal, that animals will kill for their territory or for their food, but they don't just kill to kill. People, now they're going in schools and just shooting just to shoot. Not even a reason. Don't even have to know you. And they'll take your life. And it's like they've lost every bit of morality that so this world is gone. These modern events that we see, it's already been prophesied. And now we're just manifesting and seeing it manifested right amongst us. So God help us. Amen. Well, I got a message here I want to talk on. And I want to start by reading Zechariah chapter 9. I got one verse here, and then I got another reading that I want to read. But I want to start in Zechariah. And I'll give you a few minutes to get there with these Bible studies. Maybe we'll do some scripture chase. Find a scripture and then let you see who's the first one to find it. I mean, we can do all kinds of things on Sunday night. And then it's not just sitting around talking. You need to get familiar with your Bible. And if you throw a scripture in there, I tell you to go over to Ruth. Some of them wonder, Ruth, is Ruth in the Bible? And then which side of the book? See, they don't know it's Old New Testament. Which side of the book is it on? So, you know, these Bible studies are good for all kind of reasons. And we can cover a lot of things. And so I'm really open to how it works with this Bible study. And I'm excited to see what God has already done and what he's still doing. And so, yeah, we'll have some Bible searches and do all kind of things, have some contests. Maybe have the brothers against the sisters. See which one of y'all is the smartest. Okay. Y'all should be there by now. And even if you looked in the index, you should be there by now. Zechariah chapter 9. Just one verse here I want to read. And then I'm going to read another one. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, I got another scripture which you can flip with me over to Matthew chapter 21. And we're going to start there. Verse 1. Read a few verses here. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come unto Bethlehem, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, verse 2, go into the village over against you, and straightway you will find an ass tied and a coat with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughters of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought an ass and the coat, and put on them their coats, their clothes, and they set him thereon. And verily great multitudes spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strode them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed, crying, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. Title of this message, and I got this right out of Brother Branham's message, just like Jeremiah did his on Wednesday. And the title of this message is, What is the Attraction on the Mountain? Now, if you haven't ever listened to that service or read that book, it's a very good book. That is one of the messages I like giving to people when they first come to the message, or they're thinking about the message or asking questions about the message, because it's a very good message. Now, I want to start here. Now, Zechariah was prophecy. And that one verse was, you got to remember, the Bible wasn't written in a way that it was book, chapter, and verse. They were scrolls. And those scrolls wrote from the beginning of the scroll till they finished writing the scroll. And to find anything in those scrolls, you really had to hunt. You really had to look. Now, Zechariah, there was only one verse there, one little line talking about this Messiah coming and riding on an ass and coming through Jerusalem. There's only one little spot in the middle of all of Zechariah's writings that was hidden. Now, you got to understand, those scrolls and those scholars back then, their job, their life, was to know those scrolls. Because they knew that they were prophets, and they knew that there were prophecies in those scrolls, but you couldn't just go like we did, went over to Zechariah and read it. They had to look through the entire scroll to even know it was there. So to even understand what Jesus was doing, you have to understand the scroll. And they knew that the prophet Zechariah had some prophecies in there, more than one. There's prophecies all through the scrolls, all through the Old Testament. And that's the thing I love about it. Jeremiah was very good with that on Wednesday, talking about the Bible and how that book is a book of prophecy. The whole thing is a book of prophecy. And it's just an Old Testament prophecy. There's New Testament prophecy. So Zechariah prophesies this one-liner. He's going to ride in Jerusalem on the back of an ass. And here Jesus was in the New Testament. He knew that was there. He knew it was there. And he knew he had to do it. He knew that was his role. Just like when John the Baptist was down on the river and Jesus come down to John, Jesus knew that he was the Lamb of God. He knew that the sacrifice had to be washed. See, he knew the scrolls. He knew the requirements, and he knew what God would want him to do. So when he got down there to John, now John was a little wild man out of the wilderness, but he too knew the prophets and the scrolls, and he knew what was supposed to happen. But when Jesus approached him, first thing he said, Jesus said, Hey, John, I need you to baptize me. And John was like, No, so I need to be baptized of you. Yeah. And he's arguing with Jesus in the water, and Jesus is like, I don't have time for this, John. We got to do what the scroll says. We got to be in line with the scripture. So John said, Okay, I'll do it. And he washed him because he was the Lamb of God. So when you got over there and started looking at the scrolls and saw where Zechariah said he was going to come into Jerusalem, Jesus knew that his time was just about up. He knew that he had done everything that he was supposed to do up to that point. Now he had to take himself and offer himself unto the pilot and the different ones so that he can have his sacrificial lamb made known and put out there. So he knew riding in there was going to fulfill the scripture. So he told him. And it's funny because he told him, said, if somebody stops you and asks you about it, and I didn't read on down, but they did stop and they asked him about it. And he said, the Lord has need of it. And he's like, oh, okay. So Jesus already knew that they were going to be asked.
Yeah.
He already knew that it was going to be not even a fight about it. So God always makes a way no matter what in every situation. But the thing about this that stood out to me was the people, when he rode into Jerusalem, there were some people who recognized it and recognized it was God, and that God was about to do something great, and they were in celebration knowing that Jesus was coming in to pay that price. They were rejoicing. They were singing the hosannas. They were putting the palm leaves down and putting the clothes down. They were celebrating, said, come on, bring it on, Lord. You got to do this. There were some people who were looking forward to what was about to happen. Amen. And then there was other people in that group who didn't even know who it was.
Yeah.
They didn't even know what the prophecy said. They weren't even looking for the prophecy. But Jesus always had somebody on the scene in every case to be able to recognize and identify who he was.
Amen.
He always has a, he will not leave himself without a witness. That's why he stacked the deck when he built the bride body of all ages, because he knew that he, his word was not going to go out void. And you know why he knew his word wasn't going to go void? Because he ordained people to receive the word.
Amen.
That's the way God works. He never leaves himself without a witness. He never sends his word out and let it just drop on dead ears. Somebody will always receive the word of God. And here they were. Jesus was fulfilling scriptures right before their eyes. And just like he did in the temple, when he went in the temple and read Isaiah, and they looked at him and he said, this day, this scripture, Isaiah was the same way. It was a scroll with prophecies written in the middle of it, not even in the beginning. But those scrolls had those prophecies written in there. And Jesus said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. There was always a time when God had scripture moving amongst the people. There was always a time when God had a group of people who could pick up his scripture. There never was a time that God brought a prophet on the scene that there wasn't somebody to receive that prophet. Because God never sends a prophet out without sending out a group of people who can receive that prophet. The attraction on the mountain that morning was Jesus fulfilling prophecy. He was standing there and doing exactly what was written on him. And the thing about I love about it is every time God moves, he always likes to show things in the mountains. I think about Moses. First time God met him. He went out there and saw him on that fiery bush. Looked up in the mountain. There was a bush on fire. And Moses turned himself aside to go see it. What was it? It was God coming down to do something with man.
Amen.
Think about Noah. He took a boat, made a boat, built an ark. But then when that boat landed, it landed on a mountain.
Right.
It was God showing himself off again. Every time God moves, he always moved in that way. And some people saw it and some people didn't.
Amen.
Some people could receive the word and some people couldn't. Some people made it a priority. They made it a priority to go down there and see Jesus coming through Jerusalem. And others are sitting around like, what's going on? What's going on? Didn't recognize the day. Didn't recognize the hour. Didn't recognize the prophecy. Didn't recognize the prophet. Didn't recognize nothing. Why is it that some people can hear a prophet and recognize him as a prophet, and other people hear the prophet and don't recognize him as anything? You got to have an ear to hear.
Amen.
You have to be chosen of God.
Amen.
To be able to pick up a prophet.
Amen.
Just any old person can't pick up a prophet. I don't care what prophet it is.
Right.
Just any old man cannot pick up a prophet. When Ezekiel come out there and he was out before the people, everybody didn't figure out. He didn't know who he was.
Right.
But he was prophesying.
Yeah.
But somebody knew enough of it to keep his scrolls, realizing that things are going to be written down there that people are going to have later. And when we had Elijah come on the scene, Elijah was a prophet of God. He prophesied. He got to a point, he told him one time, he said, it's not even going to rain until I say so. If he didn't call for it, it wasn't going to happen. Now, did everybody believe him? No. When he first prophesied, did they believe him? No. Did the king believe him? No. But there was a group of people who did. That little widow woman, she knew who he was. See, there's a group of people who can pick up a prophet no matter what he looks like.
Amen.
They can pick up a prophet no matter what he sounds like. Because they're not looking at the man. They're looking at the prophecies.
You know, Brother Branham said, if a prophet prophesies and it doesn't come to pass, don't worry about him. He's a false prophet. You don't have to give him no time and day. But if a man prophesies, that's what the scripture says, if he prophesies and it comes to pass, then you hear that man, because God is with that man. But people don't even know how to look for God. They say they want God, but they don't know that. You know what? If you want to find God, find a prophet. And I'm not even talking about major prophets, there's minor prophets. When you preach, you prophesy.
Amen.
Minor prophets. Like I said to the age that Wednesday night, I said, you prophesy on things that are coming. You don't prophesy what's already happened. That's history. You don't even need to be a prophet to prophesy history. Anybody can pick up history. Everybody knows Jesus came.
Amen.
Unless you just really flat don't believe there was a Jesus at all. But history itself testifies to that. And you don't even have to be a Christian or believer to believe that. Nobody has to be a prophet to tell what happened in the past, but you have to be a prophet to tell what happens in the future.
Amen.
Jesus, when he went into Jerusalem that time on that donkey, he wasn't going there trying to prophesy. He was fulfilling the prophecy.
Amen.
I mean, that's another whole ball game when you're talking about fulfilling a prophecy. When you're fulfilling a prophecy, you're fulfilling what somebody else already said was going to happen.
Amen.
Not you. I'm not prophesying that I'm going to be to church on Sunday morning. I'm here.
Amen.
I don't have to prophesy that. I don't even need to be a prophet. You don't even need a prophet to know that.
Right.
All you got to do is open your eyes.
Amen.
I'm here.
Amen.
But if I tell you where I'm going to be tomorrow, now that's a little different.
Yeah. Right.
If God moves, that's prophecy. That's telling. That's foretelling.
Amen.
Foretelling what's going to happen. And there's people in Jerusalem who could pick what was going on up, and there was other people who didn't have a clue.
That's right.
And it's always been that way.
Amen.
It's always been that way.
Amen.
So when Jesus did what he did, it had been prophesied 487 years prior to him coming on the scene. That's how old that prophecy was.
Right.
Jesus fulfilled something that laid in there. And just think about it. It laid in those scrolls for 487 years. And there was nothing added, nothing taken away, no big show, no big nothing. It wasn't big trumpets blowing when it happens. Nothing. Matter of fact, the majority of the people missed the prophecy when it was fulfilled.
Right.
And it's the same day, same way every day. The people always miss prophecy when it's fulfilled. And it laid in there, and it laid in there, and it was laying in there because God was waiting for the time that he was going to interpret the prophecy himself.
Amen.
He comes and he says it and he lets it lay there, and then he comes and he fulfills it himself. See, God doesn't leave his prophecies for somebody else to fulfill. He does it himself. He'll prophesy it, and then he'll put the environment together to make that thing come to pass. Now, Jesus, when he come on the scene, Jesus wasn't here when the prophecy was put together, but God prophesied through the prophet. And then Jesus was the very manifestation 487 years later of what the prophecy was. That's how prophecy works. And people don't even realize that the whole Bible, like Jeremiah said Wednesday, that whole Bible was a book of prophecy. The whole entire thing, the Old and the New Testament. Yeah, there's history in there. And yeah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John told what happened. But there's prophecy in the midst of that as well. Luke 17:30 was right in the middle. And Luke, you wouldn't even think he was a prophet, but he was. He was writing down the prophecy that Jesus said as it was in the day. Because see, Jesus prophesied the whole time he was here. And everything he put down, everything he wrote in that Bible, he wrote it so that we could be able to go back and look at the prophecy. And when it's fulfilled, we'll be able to tell it was God.
Amen.
That's how you know it's God, that the fulfillment comes to pass. But every time God moved, people could never see the real fulfillment. They always thought it was man. They always attributed it to man. Think about on Mount Carmel with Elijah. When he went up there with those 400 priests. Now he had 400 priests that didn't know God.
Right. Yeah.
400 priests that couldn't prophesy.
Yeah.
And Elijah standing there prophesying right in their face. Said, whichever God answers by fire. In other words, God's going to answer by fire.
Yeah.
And he was willing to bet that if his God didn't answer by fire, he'll serve their God.
Right.
That's how sure he was that God was going to answer his prayer. And he knew he was a prophet. He already knew what the end was going to be. And he told those 400 priests, "Go ahead, do your best. Take your best shot. You put your offering up for God, and then I'll put mine up. And the God that answers by fire is the God that we're going to serve." And so they went out there, and he said, "You go first. You go out there and put your do your best." They went out there. They screamed and hopped. See, they didn't have no God. They had forms. They had rituals. But they could not recognize a prophet. They couldn't recognize. They couldn't recognize. And they were the church. They were the priests. They were the ones that was leading the way. They're the ones that should have known. They're the ones that should have picked up the prophet. They're the ones that should have recognized God. But they couldn't recognize God because there was no God in them. Though they were religious. Though they were really religious. They were clean. Their family was clean. Their lineage were clean. They were from the old school. They knew that they were blameless. But yet they didn't know God. And they could not pick up God's man when he was standing right before them. When the word was standing there ready to be manifested, they couldn't pick it up. They had no place in them. Amen. And it's been that way from the beginning.
Yeah.
The reason Cain couldn't bring forth the sacrifice, even though God told him what to do.
Yeah.
It just wasn't in him to do it.
Amen.
He couldn't do it. No matter how God fixed it, he couldn't do it. No matter what God does, this world can never pick him up. If you don't have something in you pulling you to the word, you can never come. And if you've got something in you that's pulling you to the word, you can't get away from it. You can't get away. You got to have it. Got to get a revelation of it. When God comes, see, even being able to recognize the prophet, that ain't just because you're smart. That's just because that's not because you're just educated. It takes God to open your eyes. And when Elijah was standing there, though those 400 preachers were standing there with him, they could not recognize God in skin.
Amen.
Remember, a prophet is God in skin.
Oh, yeah.
He called him Son of Man because he could be the Word made flesh.
Right.
Ezekiel was the Word made flesh. Zechariah was the Word made flesh. It was God in skin telling the people, prophesying to the people what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And though it was God in skin, they could not pick it up.
Amen.
If God don't let you do it, you'll never do it.
Amen.
He was God's man. It was God on the hill vindicating his prophet. Brother Branham said here, and why, what's the attraction of the mountain? He said, and here that old fanatic standing up there on the hill, bringing all these people up there. What was the attraction? It was God fixing to vindicate his prophet to be right. It was God fulfilling prophecy. God also making history, fulfilling the word. See, prophecy becomes history when it's fulfilled.
Amen.
That's why you can't spend too much time on prophecy that's already been fulfilled.
Right.
Oh, it's good to talk about Brother Branham. Oh, it's good to talk about the seals. Oh, it's good to talk about those things. But they're all history.
Amen.
They've already been fulfilled. It's God, and then when it's fulfilled, it's God showing you history. We can go back and talk about Adam. We can go back and talk about Isaiah. We can go back and talk about all the Old Testament saints. That's fine. That's Danny. That's good. God was doing them. God was there. God was behind it. But it's history.
Amen.
You spend too much time on that? Make me wonder if you even know how to prophesy.
Amen.
See, it's God coming down. And prophecy is only good when it's prophecy. When it becomes history, it's not anybody can look at history. They teach that in school. You don't have to have the Holy Ghost to see history. When the rapture happens, when that's said and done, it's not going to take a revelation to see it. It's going to be obvious because we'll be gone. Another showdown was Jesus. I thought about this Jesus at Mount Calvary. Luke chapter 23. And when they were come to that place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. That was scripture. That was prophecy. See, things, It's not even Jesus making these things happen.
No.
He had nothing to do with them casting lots on his clothes.
That's right.
But it was a prophecy that it was going to happen.
Right. Yeah.
God makes sure that every prophecy comes to pass.
Right.
They were fulfilling prophecy and didn't even know it. The world fulfills prophecy and don't even know it.
Amen.
They're living in the condition that we're in right now and don't even know this is prophecy being fulfilled
Amen.
Right before their eyes.
Amen.
David wrote about Calvary over there in Psalms 22. Listen to what David said. He said, a Psalm of David, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaming? See, here he was, David, prophesying. The words that Jesus spoke on the cross.
Amen.
And the people standing there, and I could look it up and read it, they didn't understand what he was doing. They thought, well, he's thirsty. He's calling for something to drink. He's calling for his father. He's calling for his mother. He's calling. They didn't understand that Jesus was speaking words of prophecy right before them. It's hard to understand prophecy if you're not the ordained.
Amen.
If God doesn't show you, you can't get it. That's why you can't fault the world. They say, well, if they it's John 3:16, for God so loved the world that they all can't get it. They all can't see prophecy. When Jesus went into town on that donkey, they'd all see, oh, that's him. He's fulfilling prophecy. Half of them sitting there saying, what's going on?
Yeah.
What's the matter? You know, if you look at the world today, people know it's off catered.
That's right.
They know something's wrong.
Right.
They know they can't get it right. They know that they're messed up. They know this world's off. They know this world's messed up. But they don't know what to do about it. They don't know about the prophecies. They don't know what's ordained of God or not. They don't know the scriptures. They don't know the scrolls. They don't know God. They look at the temperatures.
Right.
This is turning crazy. Breaking records.
Right.
Heat wave coming through. I thought earlier in the year, so I thought, Lord, I know hell's hot. Maybe you're getting this place ready. It's warming up. It's warming up. And it's warming up. Ice caps melting. Floods. It's just everything's off cater. Nature itself is testifying that this thing's about over.
Yeah.
It really is. You say, oh, it's all fake news. It's all funny. No, step outside. Nobody has to tell you this is unusual. Not so much here, but the world. They've got fires popping up. They've got earthquakes. They've got storms and floods and dry droughts in places that shouldn't be dry. Rivers drying up. The world is in chaos. It's all upside down. And everybody's wandering around here saying, what is it? What is it? What's going on? Brother Branham calling them birth pains. This world is getting birth pains because the bride knows, she knows that there are things that are to be that are going to happen in this world. And this world's walking around like, what's going on? Just like they were when Jesus came in town. What's going on? Who is it? What is it? And we spend so much time trying to fit in and get our little world together that we almost don't realize that this thing is on its way out.
Yeah.
Oh, plant your potatoes. Get your job. Plan on your retirement. Do everything you're supposed to do. But realize that this world is not my home. And when this world's on fire, it's still not my home.
Right.
Oh, I feel for humanity. I feel for the people. People, they just don't know.
Amen.
Ignorance is just not knowing. But Brother Branham said, he said, and look, the scriptures had said that it was going to happen exactly word by word the way that it was. Even David, hundreds of years before that, about 800 years, cried the very same thing that he did on the cross. And no doubt, the temple that morning, they might have sang the same song. Psalms 22, my God, why have thou forsaken me? In the temple, singing about it,
right.
And the God that they claimed that they served, they were crucifying. People are so blinded that they don't even understand that their very actions are bringing about what God already prophesied was going to happen. Amen. I don't care if it's Putin, the Pope, America, the bombs, it's all foretold. None of this is catching us by surprise. We're not sitting here saying, what's going on? What's going on? We're not surprised about the wars. We're not surprised about the droughts. We're not surprised about the cost of living going through the roof that you can't even hardly live. This is Satan's Eden. And God already said it was going to happen. The people are ignorant to it. And the bride is sitting here with a perfect understanding of the whole thing. God never leaves the bride in the darkness. When Jesus came to town on that donkey, the people who were supposed to know what was going on knew what was going on. Amen. That little woman, that prostitute woman, when Jesus approached her, she had a different answer than Caiaphas had. Right. When Jesus approached Caiaphas is like, are you the Son of God? Who in the world do you think you are? And he had no clue. Right. But when you approach the woman at the well, a woman who was ordained a meeting, a woman who had a representation, a woman who couldn't pass him up if she wanted to, she couldn't miss God. Amen. Oh, she thought it was a bad thing coming to the well in the middle of the day, but that's exactly where she needed to be because God had an appointment with her that day. The bride of Jesus Christ has appointments with him. When the rest of the world don't know what's going on, she walked up there with her little bell and her little buckets and was trying to do her little worldly thing. And when the words walked up to her and she started hearing from him, she recognized. She didn't ask who he was. She says, that's what prophesied about what's supposed to happen. See, the bride is looking for prophecy. The bride's expecting the word to be fulfilled. She didn't have to go back home and study it out and try to figure it out. She says, they say when the Messiah comes, he's going to do these very things that you're doing right now. She didn't need anybody to interpret it for her. She knew it for herself. The bride don't need somebody to try to convince them of who he is. When God's word is face to face with the bride, she'll turn quickly to that word because it's just in her to do so. Amen. You don't have to prime her. You don't have to pump her. You don't have to try to make her do. Say, oh, well, let me convince you. I don't have to convince you today, people.
No, not at all.
I don't have to try to force this on you. I don't have to try to preach such a message that's going to prick your heart in such a way that's going to make you just want to surrender to God. No, put the word out there. The bride will turn to it. Amen. Put the prophecy out there and she'll believe it. Amen. Put the prophecy out there and she'll start looking for it to be manifested. Amen. That's what the bride does. We're attracted to the prophecies. Amen. That's what the prophecies do. The prophecy is not the end of the story. The prophecies just get your attention. Just draws your attention. The full manifestation of it is the vindication of that prophecy. Jesus said over there in Acts chapter 1, when I was looking at him over there, and I was looking at how Jesus left us and what he promised. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, now listen to this prophecy. Why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus is taken up from you into the heaven, shall come again in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And return they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. They're up on a mountainside. Here's another attraction on a mountain. Jesus ascending into heaven. But before he left, there was a prophecy that people don't even pay any attention to. He left in a cloud and returned in a cloud. That was a prophecy. In like manner. But who'd look for him coming back in a cloud? Church world is not even, you know what they're looking for? They're looking for Jesus to ride a cloud from heaven down to earth. With a long robe and a long beard. And trumpet sounding behind him as that cloud and that Jesus descends. They have no clue. They're just like they were when Jesus came in on a donkey. What's going on? What's happening? Didn't see it. Didn't know. But God promised he was going to return in a cloud. He promised that. In like manner. He was going to come back. But did anybody look for that? No, they didn't look for that. They're looking for him to come like they did the first time. They thought Jesus was going to come and take over Jerusalem by sword. They thought he was going to come and take the kingdom and beat Pilate up and take the throne and rule. But that wasn't the time. They missed it. And Jesus did come back in a cloud. But who knew? Who was looking for him? Nobody was paying attention. Nobody was looking to the mountain. Nobody was looking for a prophet. Nobody was looking for any of that. They were so busy being churchy, being religious, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. They were so busy doing that, that God come right amongst them and he didn't even know he was there. They missed it the first time. What makes you think they're going to see it the second? They didn't know who Jesus was. What's going on? What's going on? Why is he riding that donkey? Why is he going through this? Didn't know the word. Didn't know the prophecy. Wasn't even looking for the prophecy. They weren't looking for... they didn't look for a manger either. No. They thought he was going to be born in the palace. Their Messiah is going to... See how man interprets prophecy? Misinterprets prophecy? And they misinterpret the prophecy in such a way that they don't even see God when he shows up. Because he never comes like they think it is. God never comes like man's expecting him. They thought that God was going to come to the palace. He's going to come to Pharaoh. He was going to be the big shot of the town. He was going to lead them into victory. They thought he was going to do all these things, and he didn't come that way. When, think about Moses. Moses was the least of the least. The last one you'd suspect that God was using. He was born, and God tried to kill all the babies because they knew about prophecy, but they misinterpreted the prophecy. They thought that they can get rid of all the kids, and if they got rid of all the kids, they didn't have to worry about it no more. But see, when God's word prophesies, I don't care if you kill every kid. Amen. You're not gonna stop God's word. Amen. You're not gonna get the one God's gonna not the one that God's gonna use. Amen. Here he got Pharaoh got all the kids but one. And his mama sent him down the Nile in a basket. Right to the palace. Right where Pharaoh was living. And Pharaoh's daughter picked that baby up and took it in as her own. Pharaoh fed him. Pharaoh clothed him. Pharaoh played with him. Pharaoh put him in school, educated him. And the whole time, he thought he got rid of God's prophecy. But then there come a time that prophecy had to come to pass. Oh, it cost them. Moses had to leave his father, leave his mother, leave his house, leave Pharaoh, leave his money, leave his riches, leave his education. God took him on the backside of debtor to get rid of everything. See, when God calls you, he's got to get rid of everything that you think it is. Amen. Reason people can't give up their denomination, because that's it. They want to hold on to that. Give up those thinking, give up those ideals, and stay with the prophecies of God's word, and you'll be okay. God took Moses on the backside of the desert for 40 years. Took everything Pharaoh put in him out of him. When God calls you, he has to take you on the backside of the desert. And he has to get out of you everything that you thought it was. When I first come here, I thought I knew what God was. I thought I knew what the Holy Ghost was. I thought I knew what the Word of God was talking about. I thought I knew a lot of things about the Bible. Come to find out, I had twisted everything I ever read. I had a twist on every scripture. I just talk about me. I know y'all didn't have it that way. Y'all had it all right. I had it all wrong. When I found out that I was taught wrong, I thought I ain't going to trust nothing I think. I ain't going to trust nothing I believe. I ain't going to trust nothing I've been taught. That's the way Moses got. After God got rid of his 40-year training, Moses, you know he was 40 when he went out there? And took God 40 years to get rid of everything that was done to him. So here he comes, 80 years old. He didn't know nothing. He didn't have nothing. No future, no plans, no money. Got himself a little black woman, said, come follow me. We got work to do. Went down there, they made fun of him. They thought, how's this one man going to come down and do what he needs to do? And he got down there, and Pharaoh come to find out Moses was the man of the hour. Moses start fulfilling prophecy because he already knew what the scrolls promised. He already knew what the prophets had said. He already knew that Israel was going to be delivered 400 years to the day. God ain't no about close to it. He's not some ishish God. You know how people say, I'll be around 10-ish. I'll be there 8-ish. Somewhere around there. God, if he says he's going to do it, he does it right on time.
Amen.
If he says you're going to be there 400 years, you're going to be 400 years. That's the way God works.
Amen.
So there was prophecy already in the scrolls about Israel being down there for 400 years and being set loose. And God had to calculate Moses' time. He knew it was going to take him 40 years to beat that out of that hard-headed man. He knew it was going to take 40 years to get the people where they needed to be. He knew it was going to take 40 years to get Pharaoh where he needed to be. He knew all these things, calculated all in, and then put it to play. But it was God coming down, fulfilling prophecy. That's always been God. When you find God's prophet, it's God coming down. Remember what the angel told Abraham? He said, I've come down, and I'm coming over there to see if it's true what they said about Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, I'll come down to see if it's true, but he didn't even go. He sent the other two angels. But the other two angels was God too. So he didn't have to go. But he knew. So when he went down there, he went down to destroy. He didn't go down to try to convince them. He didn't go down to try to pull anybody out of the city. He wasn't trying to save one person. He destroyed everybody that was in the city, including Lot's wife, because she was told not to look back. And she did. And so, see, that's why it doesn't pay for you to look back. When you're walking in this generation with the word that we have, for you to look back is death. It was death for her. It turned her into a pillar of salt. It's death now. And I've seen many of them dying left and right because they're looking back. Oh, the world has this to offer. The world doesn't have nothing to offer. You think your friends are your friends out in the world? They are not your friends.
Amen.
They are used tools of Satan to try to get you to look back.
Right.
Anything that takes you away from the Word of God is Satan.
Right.
Simple, easy, not hard to understand. If your friends are pulling you out of church, drop them.
Amen.
They're walking around, don't know what day it is. They don't know what hour it is, but
you know.
You know what day it is. You know how important it is to be the bride at the end time. They don't even know there is a bride. They don't even recognize the prophecies that's been given for this hour. They're so far away from God, they don't know God when he walks up to them. Because they don't know you.
Amen.
You're the only God they're going to see. And they turn you down. You say, they don't turn me down, they accept me. Invite them to church. Invite them to church. Come talk to, talk to them about this word. Tell them, you know why I'm different. Let me tell you a little bit about why I'm different. I'm different because I've heard a prophet. I'm different because I've received a word. I'm different because the church I go to is different from all the other churches I've ever been to. And they preach the Bible like it's supposed to be preached. And they bring it word upon word. Doctrine upon doctrine. precept upon precept, line upon line. They're, thus saith the Lord, that's all I get from my church. You start talking like that to your friends, you know what's going to happen? Next thing you know, I'm busy, or I decided, or yeah. See, they're not really your friends. The only real friends you have are the friends you have in your house of God. Amen. Oh, I'm not saying they're not acquaintances. I got a bunch of acquaintances. I got a bunch of friends. But I don't let that run my life. I don't let that pull me out of the house of God. I don't let that separate me from the promises of the word, from the prophecies that's laid before me. I will stay with the prophecies of God and let the world go. Amen. Revelations chapter 10, one of our favorites. We love this scripture. We love talking about this. I love talking about this. I've got a Bible bookmark that I got from Brother Baker many, many years ago. I keep it in Revelations 10. I got a bunch of Bible bookmarks, but I always keep that one in Revelations 10 because I'm over there a lot. You say, we always talk about the same thing because we're living in this hour. Well, I don't want to keep talking about Adam. Adam's fulfilled. Why do I want to keep talking about Isaiah? Isaiah's fulfilled. Why do I want to talk about Jesus coming out of the grave? That's already fulfilled. I want to find out about things that ought to be. I want to find out what the prophecy's talking about for the hour I'm living in. I don't want to be like everybody else walking around saying, what's going on? What's happening? I want to be able to see the attraction on the mountain and recognize it for what it is. I want to be able to recognize God because you've got to know it's God. Yes. Oh, don't come to this church and not know it's God here. Amen. Don't come here for 10, 20 years and trying to figure out, well, is it God or not? Is it man or is it God? You know what? If you don't know, then you need to go.
Amen.
If it's God, serve him. If it's not God, then run for your life.
Amen.
Revelations chapter 10, verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. There's that cloud. There's that cloud. He's coming back in like manner. He went up, and now he's coming down. Clothed with a cloud. And the reason this is written like this is because it was written as a prophecy. John was writing what Jesus was telling him to write. John was writing what Jesus was showing him. John was writing what he could see. And John saw this angel coming down with a cloud. And he wrote it that way.
Right.
So if you go back over to Matt, that's what the Lord was doing. He was descending with that cloud.
Yeah.
Clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head. And his face were as it were the sun. And his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. All these are prophecies.
Right.
People don't even know what's going on. They don't have any idea about any of this. They don't know about the angel. They don't know about the cloud. They don't know about the little book. They don't understand why it's open. They don't understand any of these things. We understand all of these things. It's fulfilled right before your eyes. What's going on? We can answer that. We're not like the rest of the world and don't have a clue about what's going on. We know what's going on. When we read the book of Revelation, John told us in chapter 1, blessed is he. Now read it. They that read the words of this prophecy for the time. In other words, it's no longer prophecy. The time is at hand. It's going to manifest right before you. Lord himself coming from heaven, clothed with a cloud. That's no longer prophecy. As Jesus said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. Who knows? Who knows this? Go ask your pastor. Go ask the bishop. Go ask the elders. Who knows? They have no idea. They think it's church like usual. They're still going and doing the same old thing they've done since they established their denomination. Same old 6 and 7. But God said he was going to descend from heaven with a cloud, rainbow upon his head. Covenant angel. Not another angel, the covenant angel. The covenant angel. And cry with loud voices when the lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. What's going on? What's happening? What's going on? What's really going on? Churchill doesn't have a clue. This is what Brother Branham said here. This is in the first seal. The entire mystery is unfolded. That's the ministry of that angel. See? So simple, people just drop over the top of it. In other words, they miss it. When the angel come this time, they miss it. When the prophecies start getting fulfilled right in front of their eyes, they've missed. They've always missed it. They were crucifying Jesus and missed it. The upper room, Peter and them, come out of there like drunk people. They missed it. It was prophesied to be every time the believers get a hold of it, they've got prophecy to back what's going on. I am manifesting what was prophesied of me. That's what Peter was saying coming out of the upper room. This is that. That was prophesied to Joel. They just drop right over top of it. But yet, it'll be perfectly vindicated. It'll just be perfectly known. See, everybody that wants to see it can see it. See? Amen. That's right. See, but those who don't want to, and it's not that they can or can't, they don't want to see it. If you want to see this, it's so easy, so simple, that you can see it if you want to see it. But most people don't want to see it. That's why they lay it aside. That's why it doesn't take the priority. That's why it doesn't mean anything to them. Well, I know, but you know. No, if you really want to see this, this is so... God in simplicity is what Brother Branham called it.
Amen.
And it really is. You know what? I can preach anywhere in that Bible, and I can break it down, and it makes simple sense to me. Yeah. I can make it really simple.
Yeah.
And it's easy to do, because the Word is revealed in such a way that it's easy to see God. If you want to see God, you can't see God.
Amen.
And if you don't want to see God... You won't. Most people don't want to see God. That's like in Revelation 10, 8 through 11. You got to want to take the book. You got to take the book yourself. You can't. It's not going to be force-fed. We're not going to make you believe this. We're not going to make you become a believer. We're not going to tie this down and make you do something. If you want this, it's easy to be getting and be had. It's easy to be had. But if you don't want it, you can't get it no matter how we fix it. That's the thing I love about prophecy. When the prophecy goes forth, everybody can hear it, but everybody can't see it.
Right.
Amen. Everybody's not looking for it to be fulfilled. I didn't even know we were supposed to have a prophet in this hour.
Right.
I didn't come to this message because I was so smart looking for a prophet. I wasn't even looking for a prophet.
Amen.
Why did you accept a prophet, Nate? Well, because I saw in the scripture where we're supposed to have one.
Right.
And because I'm a believer, I believe the scripture.
Amen.
Right. Right.
That's the way that works. And that's the way the people, the believers are. They're not just down here trying to figure things out. We're testing everything by the Word of God. We're proving it by the Word of God. If the Word of God didn't say it, we'll throw it out. That's why when preachers preach, I'm not afraid of what they're going to say, because I know if they're going to say something according to the Word of God, it's going to tie into the Word. If it doesn't tie into the Word, you got your own tradition on it, I don't even worry about it. But people don't know how to look for a prophet. They don't know how to look for prophecies. They don't even know that we're living in the days of prophecy right now. We've been living in the days of prophecy the whole time. It's never been a time since the beginning of time that we hadn't lived in the days of prophecy. Like Jesus, like he said over there, I think it was Jeremiah said back in Genesis. Genesis at the beginning of it. Saying he's going to bruise your head. He's going to bruise your heel.
Right, right.
That's a prophecy.
Yeah.
And it's been happening ever since.
Right.
That's why the war's still on. But Satan's gotten so tricky and deceiving now that he's got people believing that he's God. He sits in the temple of God as though he is God.
Right, right.
That's what he's doing. He's not sitting out here in a drunk in the street. He's not sitting here in a gutter. He's not sitting here sleeping in his car being the homeless. He's in the temple. He's the most religious thing there is. And he's got the people deceived because they don't know prophecy. They don't know that he was supposed to end up in the church. They don't realize that the church is the whore in Revelations. They don't realize that the whore had daughters in Revelations.
Amen.
Denominations.
Right.
Catholic Church. Protestant churches. Whore and daughters to the whore. Yes. And he said, you can't say that. I didn't say it. The Bible said it.
Yes.
It was prophecy for the end time.
Right.
And that's why John said, when you can see this and understand this, the time is at hand.
Right.
When you can look out here and see the whore and the daughters of the whore, right, then the time is at hand.
Right.
It's no longer prophecy.
Amen.
This day, this scripture is fulfilled.
Amen.
Churches all over the world can't keep people. Nothing to hold them. Over in Europe, they turn them into museums. Coming this way. Less and less people even want to serve God. Got more atheists out there than you ever had. They don't even believe there is a God. They don't worry about the Bible. You know what? If you don't worry about the Bible, the prophecy won't do you no good because you don't even know prophecy.
Amen.
And Satan's trying to get them such that now they won't even read it. You need to know the Bible. You need to know what the prophecies are. You need to know what you should be prophesying. That angel come down there in Revelations 10 and 1. Why did he come down like he did? Because that was a promise in Matthew. That was a promise. He was going to come back. He's going to come back. And he came back. And now, we don't talk about this much. But those seven seals, those seven angels, they came back on a mountain. They came back to a prophet. They did exactly what God's always done all the way through. He never does nothing until he first reveals it to his servants, the prophet. People, they don't even believe there are prophets anymore. Because they say, I got scripture, prophets were unto John. You're ignorant. Church people believe that. Prophets were unto John. Then what did he put in the church for the perfecting of the saints? See, they use tradition to try to find out what God's doing, but they walk around like, where is he? What's he doing? What's going on? Have no clue about what's going on, and they wonder why we do what we do. They don't understand the scriptures. But those angels, those seven angels that come down on Sunset Mountain, they came down to the prophet. We've had a prophet in this day. According to Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, that seventh angel was going to be standing on the earth.
Yeah.
That ain't that heavenly angel. That was an earthly angel.
Yeah.
That last messenger, the last prophet to the last church age was going to be on the earth when the heavenly angel come down here.
That's right.
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 Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Exactly right.
And when he come down, he's going to come down with that little book.
Yeah.
People don't even know what the little book is. The little book is the word of God.
Right.
The little book is the Bible. The little book of the scrolls. The little book of the seals.
Right.
Yep.
Amen.
The word of God.
Amen.
And they weren't locked up like they were in chapter 5. Chapter 5 of Revelation said, who's worthy to open the book?
Yeah.
It wasn't open in chapter 5.
Yeah.
Something happened between 5 and 10.
Yeah.
What's happening? What's going on? Church row has no clue. You tell them that little book in chapter 5 is the same book in chapter 10. They have no clue. You tell them the book was closed in chapter 5 and it was open in chapter 10. They have no clue. You tell them that God does nothing except he first revealed it to his servants, the prophet. They have no clue. God could not come back unless he sent a prophet. He holds himself to his own word. He wouldn't sin. He would not come back till he brought a prophet.
Right.
He didn't come the first time until he brought a prophet.
Right.
John the Baptist come was his first running. He was a forerunner, come before Christ.
Amen.
And as John the Baptist was in the first coming and the first forerunning, so will this message be in the second coming of Christ.
Right.
So what the angel told that prophet of this day,
yeah,
He wouldn't do this without having a prophet. You can't even get a rapture without the prophet on the scene. You can't figure out this book. You won't know what it is. If you haven't had a prophet, the book is still just as close to you as it was in Revelation chapter 5.
Amen.
He is not going to do this without a messenger. Brother Branham got us as far as he could as a preacher of the Pentecostal church age.
Right.
He did everything he could. He took us back to Paul as close as he could get him. And Brother Branham said, the way I picked out every messenger for every age was a man who closest represented what Paul brought. And Brother Branham, the preacher to the last age, got us as close as he could to what Paul had. He got the Godhead right. He got the water baptism right. He got a lot of those loose ends. He brought serpent seed back. He got a lot of loose ends back together. But even then, he was not the one who could open up those seals. Even then, as far as he could get us, he said, I have gotten church. He said, Branham Tabernacle, we've come as far as we could in the written word. There was no more restoration.
That's right. Glory.
But he said, there's some other mysteries, some hidden things that I've got to get.
Yeah.
An angel come to him and told him in a vision, go out west.
Yeah.
Out to Sunset Mountain. Out to a mountain.
Yeah.
God and a prophet on a mountain.
Yeah.
God bringing his word to a mountain.
Yeah.
God coming down in a cloud on a mountain.
Sunset Mountain.
Sunset Mountain. At the evening time.
Oh. Yes. Yeah.
God revealing himself to a prophet. And he didn't even do it when he went out west. He got him out to Sunset Mountain, and the seven angels come down on the hill. If you never heard the story, those seven angels come down, and they represented the seven church ages.
Right.
And Brother Branham said that last angel was more notable than all the other.
Right.
Why? That was his angel.
Yeah.
That's the angel that had been visiting him the whole time since 1933.
Right.
And the angels told him when he was out there, said, go back east.
Yeah.
And I'll open up those seals. Like, you brought me all the way out west.
Yeah.
To tell me to go back east.
Yeah. Yep. Amen.
Those seven angels come down on Sunset Mountain to represent the fact that he was coming down himself.
Yeah.
The Lord himself come down on Sunset Mountain.
Yeah. Fulfilling scripture.
Fulfilling prophecy that he said he's going to come back in a cloud. Just, you know what, the people in this message don't even believe that cloud anymore.
Like man.
They don't even believe that the whole cloud scenario that Brother Branham taught us.
Yeah.
They don't even believe that. Leaving a message, dropping left or right.
Yeah, right.
No one will leave it. I still believe it.
Amen.
I still have the Look magazine at my house.
Yeah.
I still see the cloud in the sky that's higher than any other cloud could get to.
Yeah.
It's wider and longer than any other cloud.
Yeah.
Turn it sideways and look like the face of Jesus. Why? It was Jesus.
Amen.
He was coming back in a cloud. You say, well, we never talk about this. We don't talk about this because that's our history.
Yeah.
I don't spend too much time talking about history. I talk about the things that are to be. I talk about prophecy. That prophet came and God came to the prophet and the prophet came to me.
That's right.
Let me read you what he said here about this cloud. And I started up the mountain, running as hard as I could on one side. All of a sudden, I thought somebody shot me. I never heard such a blast. It shook the whole country. And then when it did, standing before me were seven angels in a cluster. I met Brother Fred and them a little after, said, what was it? See, they didn't know what it was. I said, that was it. What are you going to do? He said, return home, for thus saith the Lord, the seven mysteries that's been hid in the Bible for all these years, these denominations and everything, God is going to open those seven mysteries to us in the seven seals. There was a cloud coming up from the earth like a mist forming. When it did, it went plumb up into the mountain and began to circle on westward from the way it come. Science found it after a while, 30 miles high, 25 miles wide, just exactly in the circle of a pyramid. He said down here a little bit further, and this is in Christ a mystery. He said, now the coming of the Lord is a mystery. We don't know when he's coming, how he's coming, but we know he's coming, see? And so was all the mysteries of God waiting for this last day. After it's already completed, then he reveals and shows what he's done.
Right.
Oh my, never gives his mystery in full. It's just like this, comparing the seven seals. Now, when God used Martin Luther for the coming out of the first church age or the church age, and when he used John Wesley and he gradually brought them out and was revealing in them the church age, when it goes back through the Bible now and find out, but in the last days, the reason that was such a tremendous thing, he spoke of it here and showed those seven thunders. And look at Life Magazine. Life Magazine then packed the circle of clouds and light there that they could not understand and don't know it. But here, see the world testifying of it. They know something's going on. They don't know what it is.
Right.
Just like they didn't know what was going on when Jesus was on that donkey. What's going on? What's happening? They didn't understand it then. They don't understand it now. But here telling, go there and wait for these mysteries to be revealed. And here, months before it happened, that's prophecy. And then it happened at exactly the way he said it would do. Do you notice in that picture, even the angel on the right, when he was being materialized, coming down with his wings back and his head sitting sideways. There it is right there in the picture. Just exactly. Months before it happened. Told here that he's going to bring this body of believers together to reveal, take up those lost ends. Brother Brown's job was to bring the loose ends together.
Right.
He restored the written word and the understanding of it to the best he could all the way up until the opening of the seals.
Right.
And he did the best he could. Brother Branham didn't have things right. Oh, people are afraid to say that, but I'm not afraid to say that. He had to die to his thinking, just like you have to die to your thinking.
Yeah.
He had to lay things down like you have to lay things down.
Amen.
He had to take up the word like you have to take up
Amen.
The word. None of us are exempt. We all come here wrong. None of us is right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's why God sends us a prophet. He sends us a prophet to let us know that he is opening up his word through the prophet.
Right. Right.
God only speaks through the prophet. You won't get this outside of a prophet. You say you've got God and you don't have a prophet, then you don't have God. You say, well, my church has been good to me. They've told me a lot of things. I'm very religious. I believe in God. Have you heard a prophet? No. Then you don't have anything new. All you can do is talk about history. And you don't need a prophet to talk about history. You need a prophet to prophesy, to foretell of what's about to happen. Sunset Mountain brought the angel of the Lord back on the earth again like he promised he was going to do. Come back in a cloud like he promised he was going to do. In like manner like he promised he was going to do. And he never does anything until he first revealed it to his servants, the prophet. He did that.
Amen.
And people went from one extreme to the other. We got some people don't believe in William Branham, won't mention him at all. You got other people believe Brother Branham was God. The ditch on both sides. Both of them are wrong. God's messenger comes to balance out the Bible and let us know what God's saying to us in the scripture.
Amen.
He's not God. He is a son of man revealing the son of man, just like you are a son of man revealing the son of man. When you're dealing with the world, you are the prophet.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
It shows who you are.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 1. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, verse 9, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, what time? This time.
Amen.
That was prophecy.
Right.
This day,
right.
This prophecy
right.
is fulfilled.
Amen.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he will gather together into one.
Yes.
One body,
yeah.
One bride, one church,
yeah.
One anointing,
yeah.
One God. Till up until this time, we hadn't been in one. There wasn't a real true oneness.
No.
They were in pieces and parts, a little here and a little there. They didn't have a prophet. They didn't have a seer. They didn't know how it all put together. Right. They walked around wondering what's going on. Right. Even in Luther's day, when they were out there, they didn't know that Luther's was part of that body.
No.
Wesleyans tried to put Luther in hell.
That's right.
But it's part of their body.
Yeah.
Pentecostal put Luther and Wesley's in hell and everybody else. All those loose ends. Didn't know who was who. Didn't know God was building a body. Didn't know how... This thing is so simple when you really understand it.
Amen.
It's not hard. It's not deep. You don't have to be a doctor of divinity to preach to people. You just need the Holy Ghost.
Right. Right.
You get the Holy Ghost, they always wonder about me. Well, where'd you get your doctor of divinity? I don't have one.
Right.
How do you do what you do? I get out of the way.
Amen.
How can you preach? I don't. It's not me, it's God. All I do is prevent the vessel. And I do have a revelation. I do know what the word says. I can talk about the word because I've got the word in me.
Right.
You see, I want to do what you do. Get what I got.
Right.
I didn't get this on my own.
Right.
When Brother Larry thought he got it on his own.
Come on.
Thought he had some deep revelation.
Right.
Of the four horse riders.
Yeah.
Like he never heard it before.
Yeah.
It sent him off to a ditch. Brother Childers said, Brother Larry, where'd you get that from? He didn't want to tell him where he got it from. It come from the message. Come from the prophet. Come from his pastor. And everybody in the place knew that revelation.
Yes, sir.
That's like when the group that thought that they got a new birth.
Right.
Nobody else had
right.
it. And they split. Thought we didn't have nobody, and they had everybody.
Uh-huh.
Come to find out they didn't have nobody. They always want to go to a ditch with it. This thing is right in the middle of the road.
Amen.
We can't get it without a prophet. And once you get the prophet, you'll take what the prophet brought and put it to work in your life. You become the prophecy.
Amen.
The mysteries was in the seven seals. When these seven seals were opened, they'd open up the entire Bible.
Right.
And you tell me you knew what it was? You tell me you know what it is, and you don't have a prophet, you don't have a message, you don't have, and I don't even like altogether calling it the message, because that makes you feel like you're something special and different, and something unique, but it's not. It's just the revealed word. It's the revealed word. God's prophet brought us the word from Sunset Mountain. Opened up the seals in Jeffersonville. Opened up the word, and from that time, from Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Brother Branham was never the same.
That's right.
All the way up. That's one of my favorite books. That's why I like it. That's the third pool coming on the scene. Brother Branham, when he preached the seals, he preached the six seals. And then he got to the seventh seal, and there was silence in heaven. But he didn't understand why. But he told us why. And Christ's a mystery.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. He said nobody knew.
Right.
Nobody knew that the opening up of that seventh seal was the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
This day, this scripture is fulfilled. People are looking around and they're walking around like, what's going on? What's the attraction on the mountain? What's drawing you people? What's drawing us to Fairborn? What brings us to this place? It's not money. It's not popularity. It's because the Word of God is here. The revealed Word of God is here. And this whole opening of the seals brought a whole new dimension to the bride that we've never known. We didn't even know it was God till after it was too late. Till it's fulfilled. We didn't realize it was Him, He Himself, until it was fulfilled. Who do you think's come down here? Where do you think he went when he left the throne?
Yeah, right.
What do you think caused silence in heaven?
Yeah.
See, all these things are no longer questions. We have answers to those things now. You ask your church world when that silence is going to happen.
Right.
What causes that silence? Why is it silence?
Right.
They don't know.
No.
They don't even want to look in the book of Revelation because they have no clue. But if you had a prophet, you can.
Yeah.
A real true prophet of God, a major prophet. It took a major prophet, not just somebody with a prophecy gift.
No.
I'm not talking about somebody to tell you where you live,
no.
Somebody tell you your address, or tell you what your disease is. I'm not talking about somebody who can blow their breath and you pass out in the seats. I'm not talking about somebody who's got a gift of prophecy. I'm talking about somebody who had the gift of prophecy. A major prophet. And God only had two in this generation. One in the beginning at Paul, who set the church in order, and one at the end in Brother Branham, who finished the church and put it back in order. Why did he have to put it in order? Because we got out of order.
Yeah.
I will restore, saith the Lord, all that the cankerworm, palmerworm, caterpillar, and everything that the church world messed up. I'm going to restore that. That was prophecy for the end time. Church world doesn't know that. They're not looking for anything to be restored. They think they got it all.
Right.
They're not even looking for a restoration.
No.
But the attraction on the mountain is that was God coming down back to earth again.
That's right.
In like manner as he ascended, so did he descend. But that's no longer prophecy now.
It's history.
Yeah. Oh, we can talk about that all day long. Yeah. But that won't do us any good to talk about the cloud on Sunset Mountain too much. You better find out where that cloud went to. And people get stuck on Brother Branham.
Yeah.
Oh, the angel come to Brother Branham. Yeah. The angel come to Brother Branham. The angel better come to you.
That's right. Didn't stop there.
Didn't stop at Brother Branham. Brother Branham did his job and is dead and gone.
Right.
But what about you?
Yeah.
Did the angel come to you?
Right.
Did the angel visit you?
Right.
How do you know the angel visits you? Because the word of God is revealed to you.
Right.
Everybody else is still standing around saying, what's going on? What's happening? What's the attraction? What's bringing you to Fairborn? What makes you come to church? What keeps you saved? The angel of the Lord has come down here. That seventh seal brought the Lord back. And when he had opened, this is Revelations 8 and 1. And when he had opened that seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. God left the house. He wasn't there.
Right.
You want to know why there was silence? Because God moved out.
Right.
You don't keep talking to your spouse once they leave.
Right.
Except for Clarice. See? You don't keep talking to your spouse when they leave. When they leave the house, you got to start talking to them.
Right.
They're not there anymore. When the king, when the president, you know, when the president walks in the room, dun 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 dun, they do all this while he's in. But when he leaves, they put the instruments up and go home. It's quiet. As long as God was sitting on the throne, being a mediator between God and man, as long as the bride body of all ages was being built, as long as he had to be a high priest, he sat there and they sang the hosannas to him the whole 2,000 years. Continually, never stopped, never got quiet. You're gonna put all these priests and kings and you're gonna put all the cherubims and everybody around that throne, and you think it's gonna be quiet?
Yeah.
It's not gonna be quiet. They sing hosannas day and night. Never stopped.
Right.
But something caused them to stop.
That's right.
The church world don't know it.
Amen.
Message people don't know it.
In like manner,
he came back. He left that throne at the opening of the seventh seal. He came down to earth. Now the noise moved. The entourage moved. The singers moved. The hosannas moved. The praises moved. The hallelujahs moved. Moved from up there. It come down here. Now we sing the hallelujahs and we sing the praises because we know he's down here now. Oh, he's not. It's not that he isn't without praise. He just moved the praise. There's silence in heaven and noise on the earth. This should be the noisiest place there is. To know what we know, to know what God's revealed to us, to know what the attraction of the mountain is. My goodness, you don't want to testify. You don't want to sing. You don't want to worship. You don't want to raise your hands. You don't want to clap your hands. You don't want to dance and stomp your feet. With all the heaven silent, you down here, you should be the loudest people there are on the face of the earth. What's the attraction that's going on in Fairborn? God himself had moved down in human skin. Oh, he wasn't a prophet, but he didn't stay there. Revelation 10, verse 8 says he took that book and said, you eat it. I went forth and took that book which was open in the hand that him that come down from heaven, and I saw my name in there. And when I saw my name, I was able to rejoice. Because I know what's going on. I'm not like the rest of the world who's blind, one around here, what's going on. I know what's going on. I know where God is. I know what God's doing. I know what he has done, and I know what he's about to do.
Amen.
Nobody else knows this. Silence in heaven. The Lamb took his book when the seventh seal just ready for it to be opened. The sixth seal, remember, he hid the seventh seal from us. He wouldn't do it. Remember when he preached the seals? The angel of the Lord came into his bedroom every day and told him what each seal was. Now, he had his notes. He had his thoughts. He had his tradition. But the angel comes. You lay your tradition down.
Yeah.
When the angel comes,
yeah,
he'll tell you the truth of what that scripture is.
Yeah.
When the angel comes, you lay your thoughts down, you lay your ideas down, and you get with the word.
Amen.
That's what the prophet had to do. And if he had to do that, what do you think you got to do?
Amen.
Angel come in that room every day for 7 days. This is seal number one.
Right.
This is seal number two.
Yeah.
He got to one seal and said, I was about to make a terrible mistake.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to come out here with my notes and had my ideas and was going to tell you what I thought it was,
right,
but then the angel comes.
Yeah.
And the angel straightened the prophet out on,
yeah,
this thing. The prophet had to be straightened out. Moses had to be straightened out. Brother Branham had to be straightened out. I had to be straightened out. Oh, when the angel comes, then the truth of the matter comes. No longer are you wondering about what this is. When the angel's finished with you, you're not guessing at this thing. You know what it is. This bride and the hour we're living in, we're not guessing at this thing anymore because we know what it is. What's the attraction going on in Fairborn? What's drawing us here? What's keeping us here? Oh, dude, we don't have big numbers. We don't have good singers. We don't have good musicians. We don't have good this and that. Some people say, well, I don't even like to hear y'all sing. Some people say, I don't like to hear y'all play. Some people don't even tune us in because we're not good enough for them. They'd rather go to some high-priced place that's going to give them some music and make it feel good. I'm not here to make you feel good. I'm here to give you the revelation of thus saith the Lord. If we don't sing one song, if we don't play one instrument, get the word of God out here. That's the attraction in Fairborn. That's what keeps me here. When I come here, I heard the word made flesh talking to me. And I said, I want that. I got to have that. And I wouldn't. I wrestled with the angel. I wrestled with the angel. I had my ideas. I had my thinking. And the angel had to wrestle me. Put this down. Put that down. Lay this aside. It's this way. And it had to fight with me like he had to fight with Moses, like he had to fight with William Branham. And Jacob. When he got finished with Jacob, Jacob didn't even walk the same. When he got finished with me, I didn't even walk the same. I wrestled with the angel, and the angel always wins. Always wins. You're not going to outsmart the angel. You're not going to do more than what the angel can do. You say, I can beat this wrestling match. Oh, no, you can't. How can you box with God? Not long enough. There's an attraction here in Fairborn. There's an attraction that draws me here in Fairborn. Oh, it's not because I'm trying to be friends with you. It's not because I want a buddy-buddy with you. It's attraction of the Word of God. The Word of God is the only difference between this church and every other church.
Amen.
You say, I like your church, but y'all get a little rough on denominations. I got to. That's what got my attention, to let me know I was in false doctrine, to let me know I was following tradition, to let me know that none of the denominations are right. Not one. He wants to use the church to get the people. But God sent us a prophet. And that prophet went on a hill, Sunset Mountain, and come back with the seals. open the seals up. And over there in Revelation chapter 10, when that angel come down here, he had that book open. The mighty angel come down and met the earthly angel. Right. Brother Branham said that was a heavenly angel and an earthly angel. Right. They come together. And when they got together, that angel had the open book laying there and told us everything that we needed. Yeah. Everything. That's why I don't need another Dr. Dobson's book. I don't need to have some other message book. I don't need to have some preacher in the message write the message in a book and sell it to me. I don't need any of that. God is his own interpreter by bringing it to pass. I don't need a preacher to tell me I'm a prophet and let me interpret what Brother Branham said. You're going to interpret the interpreter?
Come on. No.
Don't need it. God brings his word to pass. That's how he interprets it. If you want to know if you're going to be part of the body, just hang in there. Just stay right there. And when the body moves, you'll move. When the rapture happens, you will be the very interpretation of that scripture. You don't have to work it up. Don't have to put it on. Don't have to make yourself do it. Don't have to try to make something up. Try to be old spiritual. I don't like spiritual people.
Amen.
They're so spiritual that God can't even talk to them.
That's right.
How do you know? Because I try to talk to them.
Yeah.
And I'm God.
Yeah.
When God can't even help you, you in trouble.
That's right.
Oh, but they're spiritual. They know they hear from God. They go back to their little prayer closets and they go back to their little corners and they're saying God's talking to them. If God's talking to them, he's going to lead you right to me.
Come on. Yeah.
The word recognizes the word.
Yeah.
God recognizes God.
Yeah.
Word is pulled like two magnets. They automatically come together. Amen. You don't have to force it. They don't reject each other. No. They go right to each other.
Yes.
And that's the way it is with the bride and the believers and the word of God.
Yeah.
What's the attraction? The word of God's the attraction.
Yes. Amen.
We've had a prophet. God's come down. He brought the book. He opened it. He released the seals. He showed us what everything is in the Bible. Now we preach from Genesis to Revelation.
Amen.
We know what the whole book is about.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
We're not trying to figure this out anymore.
No.
I'm attracted here.
Amen.
I'm attracted here. You may not be attracted. You may not want to come, but I'm attracted here. I make excuses to get here. I can't help but to get here. I love it when I come. Don't even like to start when to start. I want to start before then. Sometime I come, I start singing because it's just like, I know why I'm here. I know what I'm here to do. I am the salvation of this generation.
Amen.
I am the voice, the final voice to the final age.
Yeah.
I am the one that's going to be the spirit and the bride say come. And if you're going to hear from God, you're going to hear from me.
Amen.
There's
Amen.
No other voice but mine.
There you go.
Amen.
You can't even hear from God unless you hear from me. So how is that? Because the voice is in the bride.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why the final voice is in the bride. That's why the spirit and the bride say come.
Yeah.
Here's her voice now.
Yeah.
She's the one doing the calling.
Yeah.
She's the one saying who can
yeah.
go. She's the one standing on her feet. She's the one calling this rapture on.
Yeah.
Shouting the voice in the trumpet wasn't in Jesus. It was in the bride.
Amen.
Thessalonians chapter 4.
Yeah.
It's in us.
Right.
We are Thessalonians chapter 4.
Yeah.
The Lord himself, here comes that cloud, shall descend from heaven.
Where's he go?
With a shout.
Yeah.
Where'd that shout go?
Yeah.
That shout went into the prophet. Because God does nothing. Amos 4 and 12. He does nothing until he first gives it to the shout.
Amen.
Amen.
And then you can't be the voice unless you hear that shout.
That's right.
And you can't be part of the trumpet unless you hear the voice.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. That's the order it works.
Yeah.
God sends down a prophet. Prophet gets the word to the people.
Yeah.
People receive the word, and God manifests out through the people.
That's right.
Amen.
That's it. Same message.
Yeah.
It's not a different message. The shout's not different than the voice.
No.
When the Lord descended from heaven,
yeah.
he didn't come with a different message.
No.
He gave the shout the same message.
Right. Yes, sir.
And when the shout gave it to the voice, it was the same message. And with the trumpet, when that comes and it's gathered us together,
yes.
we'll gather with that same message.
Yes,
and all we'll be saying is this day, this scripture is fulfilled. We are so close to the rapture that we don't even see scriptures that are standing between us and the body change.
Right.
Oh, the world doesn't have to get any riper.
No.
The saints don't have to get any more revelated. The people don't have to get their lives in any more order.
No.
We used to sing, get right church and let's go home. We're going home anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
We're going home because we come from home.
Amen.
That's the reason we're going. We're not trying to get you all fixed up and ready. Some people think we got to get something together for the rapture. The rapture's already on.
Amen.
What's going on?
Yeah.
The rapture's going on.
Yeah.
What's the attraction in Fairborn? The rapture's going on.
Yeah.
Amen.
You won't hear from God outside of hearing from his bride. Because that's where it went. That's why it's so simple to us. We don't sit here and struggle over scriptures. We don't sit here and struggle over Bible. We don't sit here and struggle over Brother Branham's message. We don't struggle over nothing. The new birth was the end to the struggling nature.
Amen.
Now it's just love. Now I'm trying to take as many people with me as I can go. I want to take as many as I can take with me. You say, you need to narrow down the number. The table's going to be too crowded. It's going to be just right. There won't be too many seats and too little. We won't have people standing along the side of the wall because they don't have nowhere to sit because somebody brought too many people. God saw who you're going to love.
Amen.
God saw who's going to love you. And it is no, this bride is walking around here the only form of eternal life there is on earth.
Yes,
right now.
Yes,
final voice to the final age. Right now.
Yes.
Not will be. We are that.
Yes.
We're not waiting for the seals to open. They are open.
Oh, yeah.
We are those seals.
Amen.
Yes. What's the attraction? God veiled in human skin. God and man forever to stay. What a glorious revelation.
Amen.
To know what we know, what a glorious revelation. To not be down, not let the world drag you down, not let your situations drag you down, not let your illnesses and your problems and your troubles drag you down.
Right.
To know what we know, whatever I'm going through, God's right there with me.
Amen.
And I know that.
Right.
Doesn't even matter how it ends up. You say, what if you got a sickness unto death? It's still, I still know.
Yeah.
If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, I ain't worried about it. I got one waiting on me.
Yeah.
It ain't too bad if your car breaks down if you got another one at the house.
No.
All you need is a ride to get there.
Yeah.
I got another tabernacle waiting on me.
Yeah.
And when this earthly tabernacle's done, I don't care how raggedy it looks to you.
Yeah. Come on.
I ain't worried about it because I ain't going to be in it anyway.
Okay.
And if you could see my brand new home. If you could see where I'm going to, you won't spend so much time picking this one to death. You won't spend so much time worrying about how good this one is or how rough this one looks and whatever you're thinking. But you know what? This attraction that drew me here is the same attraction that's kept me here for 40 years. I love this thing. Never had anything that never gets old. Never had anything that gets better.
Come on.
It's like a good wine. It gets better the older it sits on the shelf. It just sits there and just more and more. It gets better and better. This message gets better and better. The people get better and better. Brother Locke is loving us more than ever. And we ain't changed. We're still the same old naughty people that he didn't like before. But something's changed. Something's changed in Brother Lockett. We're starting to look at each other a little better. We're starting to be so critical about each other. We stop putting each other's head under the water and start trying to help each other out. We're starting to realize this is temporary for all of us. And we're going to be over this thing soon enough. And this too shall pass.
Amen.
We got to be. Gotta be kinfolk. And here we are sitting on the mountainside. I was thinking about this little church, and I thought, you know, Brother Childers used to call this the church over the hill.
Yeah, over the hill. Up on the mountain.
We're on the mountain, brother.
Yeah.
We're on the mountain. We're up over the hill.
Yeah.
Because we'd go down to the valley. He said, tomorrow night or Sunday night, Sunday morning, we're going to go up on the hill. What's the attraction on this hill?
Come on.
Word of God's here. Word of God was here when I got here. Word of God's been here since I've been here. And the Word of God will be here when I leave.
Amen.
It's the attraction that gets us here.
Yeah.
It's the attraction that holds my attention here. I'm not here because you're good. I'm not here because you're smart. I'm here because the Word of God is here.
Amen.
That's the attraction on the mountain. We're sitting here with a perfect revelation of who we are. Knowing that God has made himself one with us. Now we walk out of here a little.
Yeah.
You don't walk out of here down and out. You don't walk out of here crying. You don't walk out of here feeling like it's hopeless. I got a lot of work to do. You don't have no work to do. Work is done. We come to the end of the struggling nature. The last struggle you did was to be born again. And after that, it's God's job. He'll drop what he needs to drop. He'll pick up what he needs to pick up. If you ain't where he wants you, he'll get you there. We don't have to worry about it. See, we don't get nervous about your life.
No.
I don't look at some of y'all. Sometimes I should get nervous, but I don't. God's got you. Either God's got you or he don't. Either God's going to keep you or he won't. Either God's going to help you to make it or he's not. Oh, I can go down my list and tell you, don't do this, do this, don't do this, do this, and get all this law and stuff on you, and I can put that on you and wear you down, but it ain't going to do nothing for your soul. If you're born again, God is obligated to see you through.
Amen.
You're sealed unto the day of your redemption. The train card has the seal of approval on it, and it's locked. And there's nothing can get in and nothing can get out. I can't get out of this if I wanted to. It's not you anymore. It's him. The attraction that got me was the word of God was in this place. And it's been in here the whole time I've been here. And I am so grateful that God has allowed us to have a place like this, that it draws people, and people don't hardly know what to even say about it.
No.
They don't know what to do with it. They know they love the freedom. They know they love God and moving here. And they're like, there's something about this place. There's something about this people. See, they're not talking about the prophet when they come here.
No.
Oh, no, they're not just talking about the pastor when they come here.
No.
They're talking about you. It's in your church, your congregation, your people. They're easy to preach to. We love the word.
Right.
We're not sitting here. You know, I used to watch a brother. I won't mention his name. But he'd sit there on the front row. Preacher, some of you know. And he'd sit there with his arm crossed. Face all twisted up. Listen to every word you say. Because he's running it through the message. To make sure. It's been just critical. Couldn't even enjoy the service. Because he's too busy keeping you checked out. And I was like, it's not that hard. The revealer is in you. And when the word is spoken, if something's not right, you'll spit it out. You don't need to sit there and watch this place for me. You don't have to watch the preacher for me. I don't watch these preachers. I told Brother Covey, I said, bring them on.
Yeah. Right.
Turn them loose. And I don't know who he's going to bring or what they're going to say. I'm like, go for it. Take your best shot. My congregation ain't sitting here in fear. People don't want us to come to the church because they're afraid of what we're going to teach their congregation. If you teach your congregation, you don't have to worry about me.
Amen.
I don't sit up here or I should get me a chair. And sit up here and watch y'all, a lot of preachers preaching. And make sure y'all are saying amen to the right things and not to, I don't, you know what? Y'all on y'all own. Every man for himself. And if you eat a chicken bone, well, I won't say it the way Jay says it. What you eat don't, what? I'll censor that one. I need a censor button sometime.
Yes.
What you eat don't bother me. How's that? Yeah, I'm blackguarding for you, Jay. If you eat a chicken bone, it ain't going to choke me. You in here for yourself. You're serving God for yourself. If somebody get up here and put some false doctrine out and you back there, I'm trying to eat it. That's on you.
Right.
I spit that out a long time ago. I'm like, I'm going on to the next piece of meat.
Yeah.
You're still trying to swallow that bone, trying to see if you can chew it. Spit it out and move forward.
Yeah.
But you know, that's why they don't want us to come to their churches. They feel like we're going to indoctrinate them with something. My goodness, if your people are that weak, you don't need nobody to come in.
That's right.
But I ain't afraid of y'all. I think y'all got the Holy Ghost.
Right,
I think y'all got a revelation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think y'all know what you're talking about. You know how I know that? Because I hear y'all when y'all testify. That's why I want you to testify.
Right.
If you sat back there and didn't testify, I may not know. But since I hear you testify, I'm like, oh, they got it.
Yeah.
Oh, that is kind of. Oh, that's right. Or if you say something soft, let's fix that. And then you know what? We fix it, and you swallow and eat that, and they move on. Oh, they got it.
Amen.
It's correction. This is the house of correction. People forgot that's what this is.
Yeah.
They think you're going to come to church and not be corrected. And they say, well, I would say something, but somebody, I might say it wrong. Say it wrong.
Yeah.
I can straighten you out, and then I'll tell you how to say it right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, don't be afraid of being wrong. Brother Branham said the zeal of the hour is to say I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is against you holding your own little thinking.
There you go.
Be wrong. I'm not afraid of being wrong. If I do something wrong, I'm sorry. Brother Branham said, Brother Children said, if I do something wrong, come in there and give me a minute. I'll get that right. Yeah, I ain't going to let it bother me. You know, that's what I told Warren the other day. Warren was texting me about something. And I said, oh, you got that wrong. Don't worry about it. In other words, just drop that idea. And just get up and get moving.
Amen.
That's what repentance is about. That's what we do all the time. We repent every service.
Amen.
Every service. He said, well, I repented 20 years ago when I was baptized. Is that the last time you repented? Something wrong with you. You should be repenting all the time.
Amen.
You don't say the right thing to your spouse? Repent. You don't say the right thing to your kids? Repent. You say, I always say the right thing to my kids. Okay. Repent for that too. That lie you just told. Because none of us are perfect. We have bad days. We have ups and downs. But it doesn't change the fact that we are the bride of Jesus Christ with the word of God veiled in our skin. That's the attraction. That's what keeps us coming back. That's why I go to this church. Oh, I can go to a big church and not do anything, just slide in the middle of 500 and just sit there.
Yeah.
That's easy.
Yeah.
Come here and pastor a church where people know a lot.
Right.
And you're not going to pull some wool over their eyes. And you're going to come in here half-stepping and they not know it.
No.
And they watch you all the time, too.
Amen.
So you're going to do the right thing. But we are attracted here.
Yes.
That attraction on the mountain came to us in 1963, and we have never been the same. We have never been the same. This bride, she is just packing this word now, and she knows what it is. She knows what it is.
Amen.
And now the rapture can come. Because that's the next thing. We're prophesying. We ain't spending too much time on William Branham and Sunset Mountain. I don't know how it was the last time I talked about Sunset Mountain. It's been a long while. But it doesn't mean it's not true.
No, it's not true.
There's just so much that we're prophesying that going back and talking about history sometimes, you know, I like history.
Oh, yeah.
But history can only do so much for you. It's not going to help you, you know, for the future prophecies.
Right.
It's just going to be good history.
Yeah.
But what has attracted us here is the Word of God. What keeps us here is the Word of God.
Amen.
We've had the prophet. We've had the angel. We've had the opening of the word. We had him come and reveal it to us. He come down here and walked the aisles and personally reveals to each person in here. That's how I know he's here. He's not up there. He's not. That's why y'all should have some hosannas. Y'all should be rejoicing because he has come. Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning for your word. Thank you for coming back to earth. Thank you for the attraction on the mountain that got our attention. Lord, there was something in us that pulled us to your word. And we're grateful for that. Lord, we're grateful for a hunger for the truth. When people don't want it, they turn it down, they turn it aside, push it away. There's a little bride that says, I can't live without it. Got to have it. It's not a forced thing. Nothing to join, nothing to keep, nothing to do. Just receive your word. And the word, when it comes in us, it'll do everything it needs to do. Father, we thank you for this group. Thank you for those that have an opportunity to tune into these services and to pick a little bit of word up that might help them along the way. Ask you to continue to touch and move. Touch Donna. She's not here today. Ask you to touch her and Trevor as he's preparing for the surgery coming up. And Lord, ask you to move in his behalf. And Anna, her eyes, Lord, we'll never stop asking you until it's done. We want that to turn into history. And Father, we ask you to just move amongst us, Clarice's eyes, the bodies, just having needs and the troubles. And Lord, some of our saints are getting older, and I ask you to just help them. Help our young people to be more determined, knowing that if there is a tomorrow, it's in their hands. And the church needs to have strong believers. And I've seen weak Christians, and I've seen strong Christians. And weak Christians never stay. The strong Christians push through everything. And they get stronger as they go. They don't get weaker. Every service they come, they get stronger. Until they finally just let the devil know that he has no hold on them at all. No pull, no desires. Thank you for this word. Thank you for the attraction on the mountain. Thank you for how you've drawn us in and kept us. And Lord, we've got a prophet and we've got a message. We've got a word from you. I ask you to just let it reign and rule in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Musicians, come. All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. King of kings, Lord of lords, Almighty God. And throughout eternity, I'm going to praise him. And forevermore, I'll reign with him. Don't forget, tonight, 7 o'clock, Bible study here. People seem to be enthused about it. Now, I'm just sort of here. I don't have to do moderate or whatever. We might switch it up a little bit. But it's just somebody to stand here to get the questions or get the conversation going. And their body takes it and we roll from there. And things just seem to come up. Jay's got some stuff for us tonight. I know. I don't want to tell them what it is. So they'll come tonight and get, you know. Man, you're worse than the angel. You don't tell. Can I hide anything from my friends? So come tonight expecting, and we'll have another good time together. Amen. We don't have nothing to do but enjoy each other to the rapture. Thank you for the good time Friday night. And we shared with each other and had a good time, sang a little bit, talked a little bit. Just had a good time being a family. Amen. All hail King Jesus.